Hi, welcome to Redefining Ourselves. My name is Stella, and Redefining Ourselves is an interview where I talk to women and girls in my life, and we talk about their experience as females. So with me is Amanda.
Hey!
Amanda is my dad's girlfriend, and she's pretty awesome. Pretty cool. So Amanda is a nurse, and my first question I want to ask, what is your experience being a nurse, and how being a woman has changed how people view you as a nurse, and how being a nurse has affected your mental health? It's a big one.
You can take little steps. Part one is, well, first of all, nursing is, it's not a secret. It's a female-dominated profession. And there are issues that come with that all by itself. Yeah. Like, it's not taken as seriously as, say, like, a physician or even
a doctor.
Or even, like, a nurse practitioner or a physician's assistant, which is, like, one level up from a registered nurse. And we experience, well, it's kind of like waitresses. They get sexually harassed is... Mm-hmm. One thing that happens frequently, especially because it's a very vulnerable position for us to be in. Like, we are giving care, like, as if they are our children.
I mean, you're saving humans' lives.
Yes. Yeah. And so they see opportunities to make comments that they probably wouldn't make in everyday life.
Yeah.
And if they are remotely attracted to you... And I think that a part of it is maybe they're uncomfortable about being in the hospital, or, I mean, ultimately, I might be just making excuses for them. But really, ultimately, it is a reason. There is never an excuse. So my experience is definitely that I get treated differently than our male counterparts, even as nurses and everyone else under the sun, even as techs.
Yeah.
But all that being said, I've personally had a lot of issues with it. Like, I've had to pretend to be married. I would wear a wedding band.
Oh my God.
And I would tell people that, you know, I'm happily married when I wasn't. God. When they would make comments like, one comment that was made to me by a 60-year-old man, like, I just came in for the morning, and he was just like, I hope your husband pleasured you last night.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just like, what at this point hell? In time, yeah, at this point in time, it's like 7 in the morning, and I'm like, what the fuck just happened? And I'm, like, barely awake, and so I made a... like a small quip back, just like, excuse me? And then he didn't repeat himself. And I was like, okay, well, we're not going to quite tackle that one yet. But this particular person also targeted the younger nurses and would ask each and every one of them how old they were. But yeah, so like these are just examples of what happens on a daily basis, And it becomes acceptable because, well, first of all, because of the amount of times it happens, that it becomes exhausting for us to always be confronting these patients. And sadly, that means that we have to compromise ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, you have to become desensitized to
it. And we ultimately compromise our value as humans, as women, as professionals. Like, we are not viewed as professionals always. We are viewed as... here, come and help me, woman.
Oh God.
Yeah, no, it's really sick. It's like, oh, but yeah, I mean, I think that another prime example of what happens frequently is they will also try and touch you.
Oh God.
They will try
as you're saving them.
Yes. Like, wow. I've been grabbed. My butt has been grabbed. My boobs have been grabbed. I know.
Wow.
I know.
That is insane.
I know. And one of the big ones that happened was one guy effectively, quote unquote, fell in love with me.
Oh my
God. Yeah, and he gave me his wife's first gift that he ever gave his wife. He gave to me and wanted me to like run away with him. So that's the other issue, is if you are what I consider to be a good nurse,
yeah,
which is if you are personable, if you try to relate, if you really meet them where they're at, you become perceived as interested. You are now interested in that man.
Yeah.
And even if there is like obviously nothing that is going to happen and you are very clear and professional and like it doesn't matter. It's like they don't hear it, they don't see it. It's a part of the burden that women carry of being objectified.
Yeah, it's like the whole like, well, technically you were asking for it.
Yeah.
It's like where did you see that?
Yep, you are asking for it by being nice.
By doing your job to get your check.
Nice.
To pay for your existence.
And sadly, also, even though we all wear a uniform, you have to be very conscious, and I have lived this, what you wear. Like, if it is slightly tight, or if maybe, yeah, if it's fitted, you get more comments.
Oh,
you get harassed more.
Man.
But, yeah. It's really sickening. Hell? I know.
How wonderful.
Yeah. And then on top of it, it's like you also get treated, actually, not that waitressing is anything to look down on, but ultimately that is not a nurse's job.
No.
But they treat the women more like waitresses. They're like, please get me this, when they are capable of moving. Yeah. And so
yeah,
then,
you don't need to go to college to be a nurse. You need a form saying that you're able to work.
Well,
as a nurse.
No. You do have to go to college. Yeah.
For waitressing?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No, like for waitressing, what? You go in, you have a working form.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, I'm ready to work. Mm-hmm. You go to for 4 years of college.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You devote your, like, 4 years.
Specialize.
To be a nurse.
And you have
this
to
is not the same job.
Mm-mm. No. And to be treated with such, like, disrespect. But, I mean, another part of it is that women are viewed as, like, having a fixed amount of duties that they're supposed to do, which is more like the nurturing, like, you raise the children, you do the, like, at what men would consider menial tasks, when really it's, like, they hold up the profession or the house or wherever they have to be effective.
Yeah.
Oh, the other thing that is really, really pervasive, and I know it's like throughout the world that this is true, is like if a woman is remotely passionate or has any sort of gumption behind what they say, or if they're standing up for themselves, they're automatically viewed as like emotional.
Yeah.
They are immediately invalidated. Like when I actually stood up to that man who was like, did your husband pleasure you? He kept saying things like, he was like, I need my hug from my gorgeous nurse, come here. And I was just like, all right, that's it. That's it. I've had people come to me complaining about you. He like launched into outer space. He like got so pissed at me. He then accused me of being an angry dyke.
Oh, it's
like,
my
you're
God.
An angry dyke. And he was actually one of the people who I told that I was married. I was like, I'm married, blah, blah, blah. I have a daughter, which is true. I have a daughter, but I wasn't married, or I'm not married. But yeah, that's another burden that we have to carry.
Yeah, the moment you put your foot down, you're either on your period or you're a bitch.
And you are not to be taken seriously. Mm-hmm. You can't be taken seriously.
Yeah.
How dare you? So it's like you have to be constantly overcoming things.
Yeah.
And you have to fill so many roles as a nurse. So, and like I can mainly speak to like inpatient nursing, which is admittedly, like, the most dynamic type of nursing because they are the sickest patients. So, however, I will say nurses across the board experience this, but it is more intense inpatient. So I speak about this with all the confidence that this is truth. This is facts. This is what people live, and it's
horrible.
It's not fair. Yeah, it's horrible. But yeah, and how has it affected my mental health? Oof. Well, so like the reason I went into nursing was actually, I don't know if it's ironic, but it's a little ironic, is because of this, I had this huge interest in mental health, including my own, and through working with people who are struggling, you know, you also heal yourself. So I chose to do a profession that works more of like your brain as far as physical sciences, because I also have a degree in biology, and so I didn't want to just toss that aside necessarily. And so this was my like intentional choice, was to go into this. And so I work with oncology patients. Every single person is terminal. Their minimum stay on this floor is 3 to 4 weeks. And a lot of them are actually, they feel the stigma of mental health, and they do not admit that they have problems, or they view it as weakness, but that's as a whole.
And then you gotta bear that like emotional weight,
and like try to advocate for them, try to convince them, but you like are walking on eggshells. You're always rewording things. So I don't ever ask a patient if they're feeling depressed or anxious if they're like above the age of 40 usually. Like, I'm like, how have you been sleeping? How have you been eating? Like, those are, like,
the... Is your breathing okay?
Large indicators of mental health. Because usually, like, your certain biological demands will go out the window because they're so consumed with what's going on. Which, of course, they are... They're dying. They're dying. So, naturally, they would be in distress. So, how it has affected me, though, is that... The staffing has never been good for nursing, so it's like automatically you are kind of strung out and you're spread too thin, and then COVID happened.
Oh God.
Yeah, and then
so you lost a ton of nurses.
So at one point in time, our floor, so it's technically a specialty within a specialty, so it's bone marrow transplant, and so it's oncology, but then it's another level into it. And so these nurses have to have a lot of specialized training, and so it takes a minute to become an effective nurse on that floor. And so like it probably took me a full 2 years like before I was like, okay, I got this, because it's so nuanced, it's so complex, and there's such a variety, like we do it all. And so, yeah. That being said, I started to kind of slowly spiral. And, like, at the beginning of my career, I gave more to the patients. Like, I gave way more. I gave my phone number out even. Like, I'd be like, call me. You know, we... Especially as an empath, like, we have to learn the hard way. Like, sometimes, especially, like, professionally. And so I would intentionally change my assignment every day because I didn't want to get too attached, because it was drastically affecting my mental health, because everyone I became attached to died.
Yeah.
They're all dead.
Yeah.
And of course there's like this honor behind it, and this, I feel so honored to have been a part of their life in such a meaningful way. Like, to be a caregiver is
like, but you the issue is you feel so honored, but you aren't honored by anybody.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like I, exactly,
nobody. They're just like, all right, next patient. Suck it up.
There are some really wonderful patients there, but as far as the turn and burn of, it's a money making industry. Like, ultimately it's like, oh, okay, sorry, done. Here's another one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're viewed as, they're viewed as numbers, which I don't think is a secret because all hospitals are ultimately a business. And I know there's some virtue behind it, but it's lessening, especially.
Well, as long as a room is full, then they're making bank. It's it's good stuff.
Especially in oncology.
Yeah.
Like,
because so many people suffer with things in that category.
Well, it's like they require higher cost treatments. So like chemotherapy is extremely expensive. Like one bag of the chemo that we give, it's called melphalan.
Mm-hmm. How much is that bag?
$50,000. And it runs over 30 minutes and it's 250 milliliters and that's what they charge the
250 patient. Milliliters?
Yeah, it's like
for $50,000.
$50,000.
Holy shit.
Yeah, no, I looked them up because in the chart, you can actually see. Oh, excuse me. but yeah, as far as my mental health, I've been trying to be proactive with it. But I'm actually, it's been so bad that we had about 100 nurses of these, like, specialized nurses, as I was referring to, and we have lost about 80 to 90. Holy crap. We're tickling 90 nurses, and we are left with anyone above 5 years of experience. I think we have about 6 people left.
Wow.
Like,
it's like a battlefield. It's like slowly just like killing off.
It's yes.
I mean, the hospital is just kicking you off.
Killing people.
Yeah.
Like, everybody has been manifesting, their body has been manifesting the stress in, like, major psychosomatic issues. Every single person who has left, they've had to go on new mental health drugs.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
my God.
That's just, and we've had people have to leave and go take a Xanax.
Oh, God.
And they don't come back. And it's horrible. So Jesus. As you can imagine, the mental health endeavor is like
insane.
It is a freaking project.
Yeah.
And it's impossible sometimes to be okay. And usually what happens, and sadly with nursing, is there is no support. Like, even Emory offers like therapy, quote unquote therapy, it's like the chaplain comes in and talks with you, who of course means well but really doesn't understand the job, and we need people who understand the
job. They're also just working for a paycheck.
And just like, they have a quota to meet. Everybody has a quota to meet. Like, they are in charge of, say, like, one of them is in charge of like 5 floors. Each floor is 48 beds. Like, it's insane.
Oh, my God.
And so, like, our floor is 48 beds. And so, it's like, imagine having about, on one shift, we'll have, like, 4 experienced nurses. And the rest, which ideally 12 to 13 more, that's what we would have, are, like, either travelers or floats who don't know what's going on. And so, we end up babysitting them. We have experience. Major issues, like major emergent issues with patients because of certain things. I have to be careful what I say.
Yeah, you know what I mean? How many nurses are there altogether currently, do you think?
Oh shit.
Like on your floor.
Yeah, exactly. Probably like 30. We have almost,
and there were 100.
Yeah, 100 of like bomb ass nurses. Like, we have almost 70, and I think we're honestly creeping up on 80% vacancy.
Oh,
because there's about to be another mass exodus. Like, I just got some intel. I got some intel on it. Like, a
including
bunch of people.
You.
Like, yeah, exactly. I'm planning on
because
leaving.
Of the horrible system.
Exactly. And poor choices made by I'm gonna call it a company. Company as a whole is like that's the other issue. Like, pay is not taken seriously, and that can also be a testament to another way that women are not viewed as equal.
Yeah.
And I think it's because it is a female dominated yeah. profession, and it's like, you can do it.
You're fine.
You're totally fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, ultimately it is not a concern for them. And it's like, even though personally I have gone to the chief nursing officer like several times, I've spoken with the CEO, I have gone to the like head physicians of the program, like of like the yeah. bone marrow transplant program, like I'm like, yeah. please help us. Like I personally, I can only speak for myself right now, but I can actually speak for other people too, but I'm like, we are dying. There's yeah. not much more we can do.
Yeah.
And they still are just like, la, 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 la. And they still don't quite understand our job, even yeah. though I have gone out of my way, like, to try to explain yeah. it to them. I'm like, okay, this is on another
level.
Dude,
you will have so many better workers if you understood what we go through.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they're self-sabotaging themselves at this point.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They placate us with pizza parties, and by a pizza party I mean like 3 Domino's pizzas. They're like, we just want to tell you how much we appreciate you. I know. I'm like,
no, the Domino's pizzas are like cut into like one in 1-inch slices.
Yeah. And then
like super flimsy.
They're like, cheers. Rationing. Yeah, sure. No. It's and like that's insulting. Like they give us moon pies, which are awful. They will give us like really cheap pens, like instead of in lieu of a raise.
Wow.
Like
you get cheap gifts mm-hmm. from mm-hmm. the dollar store instead of
exactly.
a raise.
Exactly.
Wow.
And I mean, I'm gonna drop the name of who I work for, because technically all that I'm saying is factual. So I work for Emory, and the issue behind that is Emory's like, I think they're the second largest employer, or maybe the first now, next to Coca-Cola, even though like Emory and Coca-Cola are totally like in yeah. cahoots with each other anyway. But all that being said, like,
you kill your customers and we'll make them pay you, bank babe. To heal them.
Yeah. No, it's a huge yeah. issue. So like one point behind that is that even though Emory has the most hospitals like in Metro Atlanta,
yeah.
they were the last to give nurses a raise. Like they wow. just now gave wow. an ample raise. This is 3 years after the fact,
holy
after we've been begging
shit.
Them, and since the mass exodus had started, like people
wow.
started leaving like in waves. And yeah. And so now, like, literally, it'll go into effect.
Like, sorry. Yeah.
Please, yeah. I'm sorry. I was so horrible to you.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry that I'm literally ripping you up
little by little. Y'all are monsters. I hope yeah. you realize that. But, yeah, so just, like, seeing that and feeling undervalued and knowing, like, ultimately, we do know our worth and we support each other. And that...
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing, but it's also a problem because it's like we have a finite amount of emotional resources
yeah.
that we are spending on the patients, we are spending yeah. on having to, oh shoot, am I like too far away from the microphone?
Nah, okay, I think you could probably still be heard. Don't worry about it.
Okay, I hope so. Like spending all of our emotional resources on each other.
Yeah.
Which... I mean, it's definitely not ideal.
Yeah.
Because then we go home. That's the other thing. Like, even though technically in this job you work 3 days a week, it usually is a full 13 hours. Like,
yeah.
I don't ever get out of there in the 12 hours. But
so then you're exhausted for the days you have
oh
off.
My
like,
God.
You can't
exactly.
do anything.
Exactly. I become like a shell of a human being, and I can't.
Yeah.
I can't be present. That's the other thing. Like, I can't be present. Like, I'm just like, I'm so tired. I'm so consumed with how tired I am and how strung out I am and how it feels so hopeless because people keep leaving. And so,
yeah.
of course, my mental health, along with my coworkers mm-hmm. and friends, is just spiraling, horrible. Yeah. And then what ends up happening, because we still need to make money and we don't want to leave these patients, is one reason where it's like, they don't deserve to get, like, subpar care.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and so it's, like, a complete guilt trip.
Uh-huh.
On, like, a, like, an unintentional guilt trip on yourself.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. So,
if I'm not you, there, then who will be?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so there is an aspect of that, even though that is technically, I think, probably a little unhealthy, but but ultimately we're like trying to be altruistic, you know, and be like, I want to help these people, I love this profession, I'm good at this job, like, let me use my skills to better these people's lives. And we can't even do our jobs, like, yeah. That's the other thing, we can't do our jobs because we're also working as phlebotomist, respiratory therapy, dietary, physical therapy, occupational therapy, like, because every other department is short, nurses pick up the staff, or the slack.
Yeah.
The slack is, like, yes, it's overwhelming.
You're carrying everybody's weight.
Exactly, and you, like, put on all the hats, and you are, as nurses, like, you have to be the most sensible, the most keen, but, like, it's also unfair to expect a person to be 100% all the time, and that is what is expected of nursing, like, you're expected to be on your game all the time, which, of course, we are when it really matters, but sometimes we're just like, oh my gosh, I cannot give
anymore. Not a robot.
Yeah, I'm not a robot. I can't pour out of my totally empty cup.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I think that speaks to also how I think women are expected to live their lives.
Yeah, just give and give and give just and give until giving. You conk out.
Mm-hmm. They are prioritized as last. I mean, I think as a single mom as well, I'm just like having to always support myself emotionally, and I think women across the board, even ones who aren't technically single mothers, because there's this expectation put on them that they are the primary caregiver of their family, they experience the exact same thing. It just so happens that nursing right now is absolutely insane, and they are experiencing it to, like, a crazy degree that is not sustainable. But to that point, I am actually currently on FMLA, which is family medical leave of absence. Yes, family medical leave of absence for myself, for recuperating. Because also my body, the stuff that is expected of nurses, like physically, like my back got thrown out. Like it still is like super messed up. Because of stress, my jaw spasmed and went off to the side for like, I couldn't eat for 3 to 4 days, and I had to get 2 nerve blocks. Like, this was stress related, and then of course just mental woes and just being completely overwhelmed and completely physically exhausted, that I felt like I couldn't get enough sleep and I was crying every single day. And the more, it's called like the core staff nurses, who are like the ones who have been here through all of this, we would go into the bathroom or go into a room and just cry. Yeah. And then we would have to come out, and we're expected.
Suck it up.
Which, exactly. And I think it's just unfair.
Yeah.
And then we're expected to just be chipper. We get asked, like, what's going on today? I'm like, I'm tired. Sorry,
but I'm underpaid. I'm being forced to do about 20 jobs that I didn't sign up for, and I'm losing patience with my system. So I'm sorry that I cannot perform to your exact needs.
Yeah, I'm sorry that I'm crying.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that I can't be like a firecracker and an entertainer. That's the other thing. Like, the patients expect us sometimes, not everybody, but a fair amount, expect us to like entertain them almost. Wow. Be like, all right. Or like to stay in the room. And of course, like a part of nursing that I do love is the connection with the patients. But once again, if we're understaffed,
hello,
forget about it. Like, there's no way. There's no way you can like have a meaningful
conversation. I just fixed you. Please don't ask me to make you laugh.
I know.
I just had my hands in your body trying to save you.
Yes. Or no, like, thanks. Hey, I have like a billion other patients. Yeah. And yeah, I'm
I gotta
sorry.
Get out of here and save someone else now.
Mm-hmm. No, and like, we've started to say that to patients, even though at first they were like, no, you can't say that. That's unprofessional. And I'm like, they need to know. They need to know. And now it's become more acceptable because it's like so drastically horrible right now.
Well, yeah, and also like another thing is you're supposed to completely like cut yourself off from like any emotions that are like anything that's going on at home. You just like completely, you just have to drop it off.
Exactly.
Like, it doesn't matter what you're going through. The moment you get to work, it's like it all has to shut off.
That's a good point.
You gotta be professional.
Uh-huh. And then also,
in an unprofessional workspace,
you are not viewed as like a fellow human, like who also has emotions. Like, you are viewed, you're viewed as a robot. And so that's another reason why I think that people like can so easily like compromise their integrity and then like hurl insults at us. Like, I'm like, excuse me. Like, they, of course, they're stressed. They have a lot going on, and they project it onto nursing because we are an easy target. They do not ever project onto the doctor, because also they're in there for, every day for maybe 5 to 15 minutes.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So it's like, and they like are on their best behavior for them. You would not believe it.
How?
Oh my god, it's so stupid. It's so dumb.
It's like a kid with a principal.
Exactly.
They're
like
good until they're with their teacher. God. Something.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they are more comfortable being childish, basically regressing with nurses because we're like, the novelty of us being professionals wears off very quickly and they always feel that way about doctors. They're like, okay, best behavior, white coat.
It's like you're their mother figure or something.
You're not It is a very maternal, like, and like, you have to actually sometimes act that way because even adults, once again, they regress. Like, they regress badly. And so you have to be like, all right, we're doing this now. Like, you cannot give options. And so, like, that all by itself takes like so much energy because you're like, okay, can you just please help me?
Because compromising
is
hard. Like, to argue with someone who's trying to compromise is so exhausting.
And it feels constant. Like, it feels like, once again, our needs, and really our needs are not that much. Our needs are to be respected. Mm-hmm. Like, this is basic. And yeah, that's pretty much my main priority, but like our needs are not respected. As you can see, it contributes to
a
hurricane of emotions.
Yeah.
And ultimately, we have to take care of ourselves.
Yeah. But then once you leave, you'll be considered as just another nurse that abandoned.
Yeah, exactly.
That gave up. That's weak.
Yeah, no, there is that perception. It is starting, I will say, it is starting to lessen. It is starting to lessen because of how many masses of nurses. Yeah, how many nurses have left.
Yeah.
So it's like that's actually been a good, like, supporting statistic for us. But it's like 3 years later.
Yeah.
3 years later.
It only took that much.
Yeah. And we suffered the entire time. Like, it wasn't just, it wasn't, it's not usually ever hunky-dory. It's like, yeah. Here, you're suffering. And then also, which I also vocalized to, like, the CNO and to the physicians. I just, like, oh, and to our unit director. Because myself, including many other people, want to stay at this job.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I was just like, there has been irreparable damage. Like, yeah. There has to be, like, some sort of justice.
Yeah. And if all you had to deal with was the patients, and you were able to go to your person of authority, or you were able to, like, and go to them and ask for a higher payment, or ask for
some
emotional support, it would be, like, it wouldn't be fine. Don't get me wrong.
No, that's what
asshole
doing.
Patients are asshole patients.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't change that, and mm-hmm. it's still gonna suck. But to, like, have a support system, it's like, you are throwing away so many nurses just by mm-hmm. not
paying,
like,
us.
Accepting
uh-huh.
that you're treating them like animals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like machines.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, and, like, that has been the priority from day one, is like, hey, we understand that this job is hard, and we choose to be here, and we want to continue to give, but we need to be compensated. Like,
yeah.
We need to be paid accordingly.
Yeah.
And that is a huge reason why people have left.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it's just, like, been compounding issues, because lack of staffing equals you don't feel safe, and then you're like, I'm gonna lose my license, and
yeah,
yada yada yada.
It just keeps going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh. Well, yeah, and is that another thing where, like, if you're so overworked, then you aren't able to perform as well, and that's, like, that's a risk.
Yes.
For yeah. your
for the patients.
Yeah.
No.
Well, that's a risk for the patients, but also your job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, our license.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And talk about, like, trauma for nurses.
Yeah. Like, and, like, all of that. So, like, it's your responsibility, and it's your fault if you lose your license.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, especially big institutions like Emory and, like, Vanderbilt. Like, there was this one thing that happened at Vanderbilt in which a nurse pulled a medication, an emergency medication, out of the Pyxis or Omnicell. Anyway, so it was, the scanning system was broken at the time at Vanderbilt, and so they couldn't scan the medication to see that it wasn't actually the correct medication,
oh.
but it had the same first, like, three letters, and so when you punched it in to the Omnicell that holds all the meds, it pulled up that one. She's in a hurry. She hits it, pulls it out, pulls it up. Can't scan it, like, to verify that it's that drug. It's a paralytic. Instantly killed the patient.
Oh.
Vanderbilt threw her under the bus, was like,
your fault.
This isn't on us. This is
yeah.
on you. She got fired. Like, and she, of course, lost her license. Like, it was...
Wow.
And I could see Emory doing that. Yeah, especially, yeah. Especially
so it was basically ones. Just a lack of instruments.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was a underpaid woman's job to know how to fix that issue.
Yeah, exactly.
And she wasn't able to, because she's not a mechanic and not a superhero.
Yeah, and then...
And so she got fired.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. No, I mean, or even, like, anticipating all of the things that could go wrong, which is a part of our job. Like, we're, like, always anticipating. It's like, but you can't, you rely on these things, like the scanning, like the
mm-hmm.
like the Omnicell working, like the printer printing your little lab labels or whatever, which doesn't seem like a big deal, but it is, because of accuracy and
yeah.
continuity, you know. And so what ends up happening too is that nurses make more mistakes because of this, and
yeah.
then of course there's always issues.
Yeah. So basically it's
and
just
it's
like
always safety, like,
yeah,
because nurses deal with the patients. They are the end of the line, and so if there is an order that is put in wrong, which of course has been happening frequently, because also we have a new operating system. And so nurses are having to catch, oh, that's another thing. It's like this whole other weight is put on nurses to correct, well, rather to phone in and then be like, I don't think this is correct. And 9 times out of 10, we are correct that it is incorrect.
Yeah. And but people are just like, no, dangerous. You're wrong.
Yeah. Or because of the travelers and because of the floats who don't know the floor, they just go ahead and follow through with the order, even though, say, it's like ordered on the wrong patient or it's the wrong dose or it's a shit show.
Yeah.
It's a literal shit show.
Wow. That's insane.
I know.
That's so disappointing. But not surprising.
I know, exactly. I'm like, you know, even with the badassery that is nursing, I don't know that it'll, even with this whole COVID thing, which has really, it has overall given credit and some props to nursing. I think even with all of this, I don't think nurses will ever be really taken seriously. No. And I think a part of it is because they do have to be emotionally intelligent, or there is this like more social aspect as opposed to strictly physical science or medical jargon speak, where it's like we have to do both. Like mm-hmm. we have to know both. We have to know the medical language and we have to be well versed in layman's terms, because a lot of people have no health literacy, meaning you know, they don't know what you're talking about. They don't know the names of their medications. They don't know all of the names of their procedures and body parts. And that is another thing that happens that falls on nursing, is in comes a physician. The patient is basically afraid to ask any questions of the physician, to elaborate on what they said. And then they ask us.
Yeah.
Once again, falls on nursing. It falls on nursing.
Like, you're a teacher, a caregiver,
mm-hmm.
a savior, a mom. Oh, you're also a nurse.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're also
like,
a nurse.
Thanks for saving me. Seriously. Can you get me food now?
Yeah. Can you?
Can you give me
some ice?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's hard. Because also, I want to give all that I can give to them. But, of course... But that's not realistic, especially when it's ice.
Yeah. I'll get someone else
to do that. No, or you could maybe have your caregiver get up and go give it. Or go get it. I don't want this, like, to be perceived as me disrespecting the patient.
And that's the worst part, is the fact that your fear of of being perceived as that. When it's not your job.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your job.
When I take this job very seriously, and that's why I'm still there, after all of this. But once again, it's not long for this world.
Yeah. Man, that's tough.
Survival. Woo-hoo. That's the other thing is, and once again, I think we can relate this to women overall. It's like women overall have so much on their plate and so many expectations that they are in survival mode.
Yeah.
Like, there isn't necessarily like a thriving.
Yeah.
They're like, all right, we have this, we have this, we have this, we have this.
And if everything's going good, then there's something wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You can't even relax because you've got to be looking out for something.
Mm-hmm. And now that you're, like, recharged, then people see you as needing
great,
to give
new
more.
Me. Yes.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, I see you're doing better. Why are you not doing all these things?
Yeah.
Why are you not back into what you were doing before? And I'm like, well, I realize that I am, once again, a finite resource.
Yeah.
Finite resource. You are. Yeah. That, I think it would be a great service to women that the world acknowledge that we are a finite resource. And I think it is that men are viewed more in that way.
Well, women as nurses, women as teachers, women as so many
female
things, as mothers,
dominated,
I mean, as everything, they're completely, and being a mother is not a profession, but it's extremely overlooked.
Oh my gosh.
And completely ignored and bashed in so many ways. Like mm-hmm. every single thing that a woman could do is completely over. I mean, even like the sports industry, everything.
Yeah, you are viewed women as are lesser. The weaker. Yeah. Yeah, you're weaker. You're not as smart.
Yeah.
You I mean, you everything. Are emotionally unstable. Yeah. You are
And I mean, even as like a young as a kid, I've heard these things. Mm. Either said to me or said to someone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even I've heard face like to my face like about my mom that she is not She's overly emotional and stuff like that. As my mother is a professor, she's a teacher.
Mm-hmm. And a like, and a fellow badass.
Yes, yeah, a fellow badass. She's such a badass. Such but yeah, a even badass. even yeah. I mean, every single woman that I know is overlooked.
So basically, you can't escape it.
Yeah,
you the can't war on women
is
the war on women.
Yeah. Horrible.
You can't escape the stigma, and it may be, like, hopeless to say, but once again, I don't think it's necessarily ever going to change. I think it has improved. Mm-hmm. We did take a big old fat step backwards with reproductive rights.
Oh, 100%. There goes...
So that's not promising.
So many of our... there goes so much of our safety right there. Boom!
And yeah, and respect. Oh yeah. My God, we're so disrespected. Mm-hmm. Our bodies are viewed as something to be managed.
Yeah.
Something that can be managed by a man, once again. I mean, yeah, we seemingly from the beginning of time, like, we have been thrown under the bus.
Yep.
Adam and Eve, that's a good one.
Ooh.
Adam was not blamed.
Oh, no.
Eve was blamed.
No. Eve was blamed.
For mm-hmm. being a dirty little animal and ugh. Handing him the apple.
Yep.
And therefore, all of humanity is ruined, and therefore we have original sin that can never be washed away because of women.
Yep.
Yeah, no, It's broken. The whole thing is broken and nauseating, and it can sometimes feel very defeating. But ultimately, it's like, I am so proud to be a woman. Like,
oh yeah,
I am so, so proud.
Yeah,
and I am so proud of the women around me. And I mean, yeah, and all I can do is continue to try and spread the awareness. Validate myself, like, continue on, because also I was also raised in that way. We all have been told these things, and there is always going to be a part of us that holds that pain, that holds the truth of the matter that we have been completely, I mean, I'm thinking of the word, and it's ravaged. We have been overall as a gender, as the feminine, like the feminine, because we are healers, like mm-hmm. we, like, that is more of a feminine attribute.
Yeah.
Like, that is more of the
feminine
archetype is, you are healers, you are softer, you are more approachable,
you're more trustworthy.
Yeah, yes.
All of that.
And that is sadly viewed as weakness. Crying is viewed as weakness. Once again, it's getting better, but it's, it's far from perfection.
Yeah.
Or far from equality, rather. Yeah. We don't need perfection.
No, we do not need perfection.
We just
need equal pay and not to be sexualized all the time.
Yes.
Let's just get those two done. That's not perfection, even close. Like, that's not even close to perfection. It's like, boom, dude.
No. I mean, one.
That'd be revolutionary, man.
That would be revolutionary, that'd be awesome. And then it would also result in doing away with, like, rape culture.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're asking for it. Look what you're wearing, type of thing.
Yep.
I mean, the other expectation, this is the other expectation, is like, if you aren't wearing makeup, if your hair isn't done.
Yeah, beauty standards.
Beauty standards. Even in nursing, like, even as professionals, like, you are expected
to present.
You're expected to present in an attractive, wow, objectively attractive way, where it's like, okay, I'm allowed to look tired. Mm-hmm. That's a big one. And then, of course, the whole, like, you would be prettier if you smiled. You would, you know, look better if you smiled. Like, that's the priority, is to look attractive. So,
yeah.
My ex is from Ukraine. And the Eastern European culture is more patriarchal.
Yeah.
And objectively speaking, there is this expectation of women,
yeah,
to, first of all, have long hair,
ooh,
have it done, have makeup on, wear a dress. Heels are a preference. Like, one of your missions as a good wife is to look physically attractive.
Oh, they would hate me. God damn. Oh, my God.
Oh, no. It was a battle. It was a battle because I was all about my pants, man. I was like, I'm wearing my pants. And so we actually lived with them when we had our daughter, from when she was 6 weeks old until, like, 10 months old. And so, like, they got a dose of kind of, like, American, maybe a little bit more progressive. I consider myself a little bit more progressive. In the sense of, I'm not, which I don't know, is that even progressive? I mean, I feel like that should be like the standard normal. Yeah. Is like, where would you want, yeah, wear what you feel comfortable in. Ultimately, like, it isn't about other people all the time. Or, I mean, it isn't about other people. Yeah.
Did they ever, I want to know, did they ever try dressing her?
Yes.
And things, and you were like, yes, you had to be like, no.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
It was like, dresses were a preference. Pav, who is my ex, he was obsessed with it. Like, he was obsessed. Man. He would always, wow, ask me to. He's like, why don't you wear dresses? Like, why are you wearing? Because I would have a nightgown that I actually got from, like, an old patient. I just thought it was so sweet. Aww. And I was like, I'm gonna wear this nightgown because it makes my heart feel good. Yeah. And I feel like I am getting a hug from them. But he had such a problem with that because it wasn't attractive.
Oh my God.
I know. And I was like, just let me live my life.
Too bad.
Uh-huh. And then at the time, on top of it, this is like another thing behind expectations of women, is like, I was in school full time and I was expected to still do a majority of the child rearing. And so, like, even though I was, oh my gosh, I was suffering, and I was still breastfeeding the whole time. And,
mm-hmm,
but yeah, like, it was perfectly acceptable. Perfectly acceptable, wow, for the women just to carry it. Yeah.
That's insane.
I know.
I mean, the thing is like, it's insane, but like.
But it makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense. And it tracks.
It's not really.
It tracks.
That insane, because it's so normalized.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, yeah. I agree. Yeah, that's. There's this poem that I sent you. It's by D.H. Lawrence, and it says something about how, life's mistake is basically how men as a whole have found it socially acceptable to abuse women.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to read it.
Yeah,
okay,
read it.
Ready? I am not a mechanism, an assembly of various sections, and it is not because the mechanism is working wrongly that I am ill. I am ill because of the wounds to my soul, to the deep emotional self, and the wounds to the soul take a long, long time. Only time can help, and patience and a certain difficult repentance, long difficult repentance, realization of life's mistake, and the freeing oneself from the endless repetition of the mistake which mankind at large has chosen to sanctify. First of all, dopest poem ever.
Right? It took me, I think, like...
It's a little...
It took me twice to kind of, like, piece... Because it makes perfect sense. But it, mm-hmm. the wording of it...
it's a little cryptic. It took me
times to read it. And then it was kind of like Shakespeare, where you have to kind of, like,
mm-hmm, have, like, a read code a little. For
everything and just understand, mm-hmm. like, what he's saying. But, like, it was that way. I don't know if he's saying. My bad, because we don't know who Shakespeare is. I am a Shakespeare...
No. It's...
Spiritist, but... It's... I don't know, like, rewording yet. Like, going
back. It's a little...
It took me a sec to read it.
Well, it is also, like, missing some words that your brain thinks should be there. Yeah. Like... And the wounds to the soul take a long, long time.
To heal?
Yeah, to do what, bro? Yeah, to heal.
Hello?
I think, yeah, exactly. Like, we can, we have to deduce.
Yeah.
But yeah, as far as, like, what he's speaking to and what I hear is, like, a certain difficult repentance. It would be very difficult. And it says long, difficult repentance.
Yeah.
Because it's been well-founded and it's been for such length of time that we have been wronged.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
All right.
Here, I'm going to see if there is,
in
case you might have to splice.
Amanda has been taking some sick notes about...
Yeah, I am, if you can't tell...
Insane stigmas.
I'm all about this, and I've totally lived it, what we all have.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think that might actually be it. Oh, one thing that I was going to say is that I also think women are the most virtuous because technically they have more obstacles in the way and more resistance to do the exact same thing that men do.
Yeah.
So it's like the fact that they choose to continue on in these like professions, in these opinions, in this activism to continue to fight for the right thing, even though it is so difficult and there are so many things in their way. Like they are so virtuous.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to give a shout out. A shout out to women.
All the cool women.
All the freaking cool women.
Yeah.
Who make the world go round.
Yeah. They run the world.
They run the world, girls.
Oh. No, but so every episode I ask my guest what they want to tell the next guest. So my last guest, I asked, as Jobin.
Okay, cool.
And I asked, like, what do you want to tell the next guest? And she said, why compare yourself to someone who's not you? Like, do not compare yourself to someone who you are not. Mm-hmm. Because you are not the same.
Mm-hmm.
You are comparing to yourself to someone that's like almost alien.
Yes.
Anyway.
And then like automatically you give yourself less value.
Exactly.
Because it's not common.
Yeah. Exactly. So she was like, focus on yourself, allow yourself to just grow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what she has to say to you, because you are my next guest.
Yes.
So what do you have to say to
the next guest?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I appreciate that.
Thanks, Jovi.
Yeah, thanks, Jovi. I appreciate you. Well, what I have to say to the next guest, what I've learned is, like, don't, rather be courageous. It's okay to have some fear. It's totally normal to be fearful when standing up for yourself.
Yeah.
But we have to be courageous for ourselves and for women as a whole. to continue to vocalize our needs, to not set our needs aside, which has happened.
Yeah.
And it happens so easily. And then it becomes just your way of life, and you become complicit, sadly. Yeah. But yeah, I guess that is one of my main messages, is just like, continue to have courage, continue to, you know, as cliche as it says, be yourself.
Yeah.
Like, be yourself once again, like, not comparing yourself to other people. But yeah, ultimately also viewing yourself as a part of the collective of the feminine as a whole, and what you want them to look like.
Yeah.
Which is like coming forward with all of your feminine attributes, which is like, once again, like the more healing side, the softer side, the side that if that did not exist, there would be no softness in this world. Even when men have, when they have really dove into their inner woman, into their feminine issues, they are like so much more capable of being a functional partner.
Yeah.
So I think ultimately what the world needs is more of that.
Yeah. Represent.
Then just realizing, and I have to remind myself of this constantly, is like, crying is not weakness. Vulnerability is not weakness. And authenticity is ultimately what is the most important thing. Like, you're going to stay true to yourself. You go by your values, your virtues.
Yeah.
No.
All right.
No, women rock.
Women rock.
I'm proud. And we are life givers. We give life in all ways.
Dope.
God, we are dope.
We're awesome.
Also, like, pretty sure the universe is a woman. Like, how badass is that?
That's so cool. I know, cool,
that's
man.
The coolest.
That's awesome. That's so sick. I love that.
We are all celestial beings.
Aren't we?
I think so. We are.
I agree.
Anyway, power to the people, yo.
Power to the people. Power to the peeps. All right. Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you so much. It was lovely being here.
Yeah, it was so
good
to talk with you.
Yeah, no, this was important, and I appreciate it.
Yeah. All right.
Love you.
Thank you.